The Lord. Title my sermon, and I think if you feel this way, this would be a good sermon for you to listen to. You don't like to be controlled? Listen to this sermon. Turn your Bibles to Acts 5 and 20. Acts 5 and 20. Here it says, go. This is an angel. He was talking to the apostles at that time. He says, go, stand in the temple, speak to the people all of the words of this life. He's talking about the words of life. Okay? We focus here on the transforming truth that's in God's words. Okay? Now, I share this every so often. But I want you to understand, we're talking about principles that are in God's word that pertain to the practical life. I'm talking about the words of life. Now, I'm not talking about going to the Bible and because you feel a long and close association with the scripture. That's a nice way of saying you memorized it. I'm talking about something much, much deeper that we're interested in. We want to share what God has shared with us. I'm talking about something real, something practical in His Word, because that's where most of us make our mistakes. Okay? The Bible is full of real people, just like you and just like me, that needed the words of life that Jesus had talked a lot about. The person with five failed marriages at the well was a real, who had real problems, practical problems. The person with a medical condition, an issue of blood, spent all their savings, a lot of money, trying to get help, practical problems. The mentally ill person who couldn't take care of themselves. It said they tripped and fall into the fire, they tripped and fall into the water. Somebody had to keep an eye on them. Real problems, practical problems. The person who committed adultery was dragged before Jesus. Think about this. What does adultery consist of? It consists of you destroying your family and someone else's and yourself. A lot of hurt people. We don't focus on declared doctrines or perceived doctrines or perceptional doctrines. What am I talking about? I mentioned declared doctrines. You know, there is declared doctrines in the Bible that it's the knowledge that explicitly is understood by most of us Christians. Example, there's a God. There's a Father. There's a Son. There's a Holy Spirit. The Word of God is true, reliable source for knowledge. There's a heaven. There's a Hades. I think we all can agree on that. It's in there. Then I mentioned perceived doctrines. We don't focus on those. What's that? That's the way that people regard, they understand, they interpret the truths that are in the Bible. We believe this is primarily where God's people are divided. I'm going to give you some examples of what divides us. Think about this. Music. Contemporary or traditional? Hymnals or modern worship songs? Are spiritual gifts still active? Are they not? Are we free-willed? Are we everything's predestined, pre-written? Which baptism rituals are the correct one? We don't focus on that. Why do we not focus on that? Turn your Bibles to Titus 3 and 9. Paul says this in Titus 3 and 9. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. What is Paul talking about here? If we would write this in the way that the original language had spoken it, what I would be telling you this morning, I'm going to tell you this morning, is Paul says, stay away from ridiculous debates over the controversy of the law. Why did he say the law? Because in their time, that's what they used. It was their Bible. I think it's pronounced Torah. It was their Bible. The law, all the Moses' law, and the prophets, that was their Bible. And he was telling them, quit arguing over their perceptions of what you think it's all saying. Today, I'm telling you, quit arguing. We need to stop arguing and focusing on our perceptional differences in the Bible. Because it is not, it doesn't benefit the unity of God's people here in Hutch, around the world, in the United States. The Bible says this, Ephesians 4 and 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring is powerful because in the original language it means an intense conviction. Intense in conviction to keep that unity. We don't do it often. So today, I want to talk about diving into some practical world of life, the world area that we all live in every day, the struggles we have, because there are answers. God is a practical God. He created us practical, didn't he? He didn't create us practical, then give us no answers. Let's dive into that. I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about people don't like controls. Nor even the ideas of it. We don't like to be controlled, and we don't like controls. And then I want to talk about God's purpose for all that. So let's dive into that together. Turn your Bible to John 8 and 32. John 8 and 32. We're going to start with the founder of the church, Jesus. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We walk around memorizing the scripture, familiar with the scripture, and we think we should be free because we know the truth. No, that word truth there means experience. So Jesus said, those who experience truth will be free. Not something we're familiar with or we have a really good recall. I mean, some people can rapid fire scriptures off. Ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. You know. Well, so can Satan, because he did it with Jesus. And we know where he's going to end up. It seems to me that I think truth is taught in a very milk-like way. You know why I use the term milk? It's because that's what we give babies. Why do we give babies milk? Because they can't eat a steak. They can't eat a hamburger. They can't eat a pizza. I remember Mike was a pastor. He used to say, that steak. Now, that didn't get me too excited, but you talk about McDonald's hamburger pizza, I got excited. So I'm going to do my generation, and that's hamburgers, pizza, and burritos, and Taco Tuesday. But babies can't enjoy Taco Tuesday. Why? Adults, to be an adult, you need solid food, balanced solid food, to be strong, healthy. That's what we need because we are missing the mark, the Bible says everybody does. What's missing the mark? We're missing the mark of happiness, fulfillment, perfection, just plain being what Christ created us to be. You know what he created us to be? Successful. But we are not. All parts of us, not just financially. That drives me insane when people think success. They always think financial. That's not the only way. I want to be successful emotionally, mentally, physically. I don't mind finances. I would love to have perfect finances. But what good? I mean, rich people got the same amount of divorce. They commit suicide. They got problems. So that's not enough. I want all of my success. And that's what God wants for you, too. Matter of fact, when the Bible says the righteousness of God, we always have this attitude like the righteousness of God. No. The righteousness of God is being successful emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 19. Turn to Ephesians 3 and 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge and understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, God knows everything. And he says he wants you, he wants me in this life to be full of everything that he is. Amen. How much more awesome can that be? But the problem is, we don't like to be controlled. We don't like controls. You know why I use the word control? Because I relate to that. You know, we Christians, we talk about rules, regulations, laws. I can get lost in that. But you say the word control, I know what you're talking about. I don't like that. We don't like to be controlled. We don't like mom and dad telling us what to do. We don't even like cops telling us what to do, but you better listen. Why? Why do people not like to be controlled in these controls? It's because largely they don't understand the purpose for it. Most of us don't really understand the purpose for it. The human tendency is to do and think in ways that are hurtful. We can't help it. We're broken. The world's perspective of control or rules or laws or whatever word you can relate to are given to control hurt and unproductive behavior, and their response is to punish it when to achieve compliance from you. Like you kill someone, you're going to jail most of the time. Breaking your neighbor's house, you're going to jail. You do this or that, the world doesn't really believe you can be reformed. Our system is not, we lie. We talk out of two sides of our mouth as Americans often. Most of the world, including us, is that we don't really believe you can be reformed. We just want you to comply, so we're going to throw you in jail until you do. The world is dealing with a lack of understanding, unfair controls, or just no controls because they give up. Sometimes the world just gives up. Can't do it. Let them go. Let them do their thing. See, the problem is when there's a lack of understanding of what a control is for, this is the way it is, people feel like their freedoms are restricted. When they don't understand it, I feel like something's... Like parents, we've got certain controls we put on children to guide them, to teach them, to get them where they need to be. And they feel like mom and dad just don't want me to have a life. We've all thought it. Some of us were stupid and we would say it to our parents. But that's what we feel. And then when society gets frustrated because they can't get people to comply, a lot of times they'll come out with unfair control. When that happens, people become resentful, confused, rebellious toward controls or any idea of what that is. Or when society kind of just snaps and decides, you know what, I don't care. Do whatever. The problem with that is, with no control, is we are driven to satisfy desires, and our desires are conditioned to want the wrong things. And since our desires are created to only be met by God, the void is so huge, and we're incapable of meeting our needs, all we can do is try and satisfy those needs, and we will always do it the wrong way. What happens when you do that? It's just a vicious, endless cycle. Round, 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 round. See, God gave controls. In the Bible, it uses the word laws or rules, commandments. It all means the same thing. He gave controls to bring awareness to a hurtful and unproductive ways. And then he follows that up, that awareness up, with teaching. See, the world just punishes for compliance. God don't want to punish you. He wants to teach you. It's not good enough to God for you to just stop a behavior. He wants you to want to stop. Amen. He wants you to want to be, to no longer be hurtful. You choose not to be hurtful. I don't want to be hurtful. That's what he would like from you. He wants you to embrace and understand why you shouldn't be hurtful. Why there's a better way. Let me give you an example of awareness. 1 Timothy 1:9. 1 Timothy 1:9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, is in the version I picked, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and a manslayers, and on and on. The law, God's controls were given to bring awareness to us that what you're doing is unhurtful or is hurtful. It's not, you're not being the best you. You're falling short. And then he follows it up with teaching, Acts 2:28. He says, you made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. When truth is correctly taught, a person will be successful. Or they can be, I should say. To present a control without teaching the how to change, things are going to go wrong. People repeat or repeat offenders, aren't they? I mean, once a person goes to jail, they do it 2, 3, 4 times before they stop, if they stop. People hurt you. You hurt people. You know, how many times have I heard, you don't know this, of course, but how many times have you heard or seen or done it yourself? You hurt your kids. You hurt your spouse. You hurt someone over and over. And you're like, what is the matter with me? You're a repeat offender. We're all have been repeat offenders. We hurt ourselves. And we don't know why. What is going on? God's controls are important. See, God's controls, why does God give us controls? Why does God give rules, laws, regulations, commandments? Why does he say these? Why? Because God's controls are given to return back to you the control of your life to be your best. See, God put within humanity, all humanity, Christians, get this through our heads, all of us, whether we believe in God or not, Christian or non, God put within us the ability to control our happiness, peace, success, even our negative side. But, and there's always a but, you lose your ability to control your happiness, your peace, your success, your negatives, when you surrender your control to the influence of outside mechanisms. What can that be? What are some examples of that? Well, it can be drugs, pills, or liquid. You know what I mean by that? Alcohol. It might be relationships. It might be social status. It might be something that has to do with self-gratification. When you surrender yourself to those mechanisms, and there's a lot more than just this. This is just to get you started thinking about them, because there's a lot of them. Once you surrender your will over to that, you don't have the power to get it back. You're in prison at that point. See, God gives you some things to help you be successful. One is he gives you responsibility, authority, and then he's going to give you a privilege to return to you the control of your life. See, a lot of people think Christians are giving up control of their life to be a Christian. I used to think that. Oh, man, I'm a Christian. I don't have no life. I've had non-Christians tell me that. Well, I have to give up this and that and this. But what I learned from my mentor, Mike, when he used to be the pastor, is that actually what I'm gaining is to get control of my life. What I mean by that, hey, I can stop being hurtful. I can stop saying the things I did not want to say. We've all had our mouths, things fly out of our mouths, unbelievably things. We're like, what? Have you ever said a thought and before the person even responded, you knew that was a stupid thing to say? You ever see someone? It's like, to me, it's almost like slow motion when my wife's, you know, I'm seeing that, you know, I'm gonna be sleeping on the couch for a while. Look, or wait till we get home. Look, I thought faster than she did, not to keep myself from saying it, but I knew those words, I'm gonna pay for it. Or what's worse than all of that is the look on a person's face when what you said cuts so deep, you can't take it back. Been there. When you say something so profoundly hurtful, you know you can't take it back. And you may have changed your relationship forever. To a child. To your parent, to a friend. Responsibility. God gives you some responsibility in the transformation process. What's that? To yield. Excuse me. I had to do that. I might have. I thought I was going to take a minute there. See, some people believe that God covers everything with grace, or he's going to snap his fingers and everything's going to be okay. Things are going to be different. I have never found that to be true. Amen. So I want to know, why is it not true? So I looked into the Bible. I remember when Mike was our pastor and he was teaching us, this is why you shouldn't be, I forget the name of the people that said they were more honorable than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. So I searched the scriptures to see what he was saying was true. This is what I found. Romans 6 and 12 says, therefore, I want you to focus on this, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. He didn't say God was going to snap it. Didn't say God was going to stop it. It said you do something about it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. It says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Ephesians 4 and 24. You put on the new man. You put on the new man, which was created in according to God. Now keep with me, because you might think, well, you're talking about works. No, just listen to me. You have some responsibility in this transformation process. We need to understand what that is. Why would God give me responsibility, give you responsibility, when he's supposed to be the God? Now remember, we all made choices to be hurtful, willfully, in some point in your life. And then we go to God because we become so hurtful. This responsibility is given to you because it gives you value. You feel secure. You become confident. Is the battery going dead on this? I'm going to switch over. Praise the Lord. I should have an extra one here just in case. See, through God's principles, you deal with your thoughts. Talks about what you think about. It's all through the Bible. Thoughts, attitudes, and actions. When I remember when Mike had told me about this, I started to see if that was true. I'm going to start thinking about what I'm thinking about. We don't think good. Apparently, the Bible tells you we don't think enough. Well, we need to think with what the Scripture tells you how to think. So I started trying that out. I started dealing with these thoughts, these attitudes, and my actions. And when God started moving, because when I did my 1% and God started doing the 99% within me, all of a sudden, I started to experience the value that God has for me. He loves me. He gives me direction and purpose.
And then when I started to experience that within me, the next thing happened to me was I began to, with every step that I would take in my in what God was doing in my life, I started to feel the ability and the and a reliable access to Christ, that He was going to meet my needs correctly. Amen. I could rely on Him. I started to feel value when I start taking on the responsibility to yield, to learn how to yield. I begin to realize, God, I am valuable to God. And then I begin to realize I could rely on God. Amen. That He's going to do something within me correctly. And together, those two things, with the value and security, it established in me a firm trust toward God that I can rely on Him, that the, in spite of my mistakes, He's going to finish what He started. Amen. There is. I may not be able to see that light, but because of this one step of responsibility, I begin to get the firm belief that he said there's an end in this tunnel. There he is. Amen. God, along with responsibility, you have to have authority. God gives you authority. That's another word for saying power. He gives you authority of power through Jesus Christ with your responsibility, which is to yield. He will help you be able to yield. First, He tells you, Joe, Frank, Esther, whoever. That's people that's here in case you can't see them. You have a responsibility, but I need to give you some power, some authority with that responsibility to follow through with yielding. And that's going to be my son. His mind in you. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He gave us His power. He's given us His power, His character, so we can have a sound mind. See, God created us to function one way. And if we don't function the way God says to, we're going to malfunction, and we're going to be hurtful. I don't know of any human. All human beings don't want to be hurtful or be hurt. See, authority is the power to influence or command my thoughts, my opinions, and my behavior over myself. You hear me? Yes, is that the mind of Christ in us gives us the authority, which is the power to influence, to take command of our thoughts and our opinions and our behavior over ourselves and start implementing His character within us. Now, within yourself, you don't have the authority. You don't have the power to follow through with the decision toward success. See, even non-believers recognize, they try to use self-discipline, self-help books. I mean, even they recognize some of their behavior is hurtful. They want to stop being hurtful, but they can only try it for a while. Because if you do take God's principles and try to apply them in your life, even as a non-believer, they'll work for a while. But eventually, your fallen nature overwhelms you because you don't have the power. You have not been given the authority of Christ for Him to work within you. But when you try to do this without Christ, it brings about within you pride and selfishness. See, the mind of Christ within you gives you the power, the freedom to make decisions, to bring thoughts and attitudes into subjection or submission to Christ, His way of thinking. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us this. It says, casting down arguments as thoughts. Now, it says arguments. I think that really relates to me. How about you? Now, we can say thoughts, but we argue with ourselves. We just would never admit it in public. I don't want to do that. Yes, you do. No, I don't. You have all these thoughts. Why'd I do that, you know? Sometimes the guys at work go, who are you talking to? I was like, don't worry about it. You wouldn't like them. I don't like them. But everywhere I go, there he is. God will, now once you go through, you go ahead and take on the responsibility God's given you. He's going to give you the power to follow through with that. And then as you take those steps, he's going to give you a privilege. See, the human tendency is to get impatient and shortcut straight to the results, or you could say straight to the privilege. Privilege, or you might say reward. If you take a shortcut straight to this without taking all the steps to get there, it will cause you to feel unvaluable. It will cause you to feel you, because deep down inside, you know you don't deserve it. This is what happens when you use shortcuts to experience the rewards of happiness, peace of mind, relaxation. What I'm talking about is when you use mechanisms, whether it's drugs or skydiving to feel like you're alive. Some people do crazy-eyed things because they want to feel alive. We have done dangerous things to feel alive, to feel valuable, to feel important. I mean, people betray the one they love, thinking they're finding someone else that's going to treat them with more because they feel more valuable. Or, you know, or a spouse will see someone else like guys fall for this a lot, and that'd be like a real attractive girl. And then they think, and they're attracted to me. I must be something. That's all lies. But when we use these mechanisms that are shortcuts to happiness, to success, to all these things I mentioned, peace of mind, they are not capable of being solved. They will exhaust out. And once those are exhausted, the feelings of loss or frustration will flood back into your heart and your mind like a tsunami. Because in real life, tsunami pulls all the way back, doesn't it? If you know what a tsunami is, it pulls all the way back into the ocean, and then it comes back with a vengeance, destroying everything. That's you. Though that tsunami that pulled back on those islands 10 years ago, and they said it was huge, coming back in, killed all those people. That is your emotions. That is your failures. That is all the things that, because you shortcut it, will come back into your life and destroy you. Because you made a shortcut. God gives you responsibility. That's the how. He gives you authority. That's the power. To change in the transformational framework that he's doing within you. And he doesn't just stop there. He wraps it all up with a bow. And that is the freedom, or I should say the privilege of freedom. The control to reach your potential. And once you get there, it's solid. Your experience of happiness, fulfillment, relaxation, courage, peace of mind, whatever it is you want to call it, all these experiences cannot be touched by anything in this life. No matter what life throws at you, if you will take these steps, allow God to do them, be patient, wait on the Lord, go through all the things of your, allow the transformation take place, learn, understand, keep stepping forward and forward. Embrace these controls that God has put in your life through the Word. No matter what life throws at you, it can't touch you. Matthew 6 and 20 says, lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Well said. Jesus warned us 2,000 years ago to put all your trust in the Lord, build your life through his steps, and nothing can take it from you. God will give you responsibility, authority, and a privilege in steps. I want to tell you that. Steps. God doesn't want to overwhelm you. He wants to make each step to be solid. You know why? Because his goal is to bring humanity and creation back around to where we willfully will choose to never sin, never fall short of our potential ever again. He doesn't want a Lord over you. He wants you to let him be the Lord. He wants you to want him to be your source and Lord over your life. He wants you to want to be successful. Can't get much more love than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No matter what my eyes were reading, I kept saying something different. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you and I to be tempted beyond what we are able. But with that temptation, all the things life can throw at you and what you go through, he will give you a way to escape. Now, don't stop there. You're like, I'm going to get escape. How are you going to escape? You'll be able to bear it. That's how we're going to be able to escape. The Bible talks about the great tribulation. The believers at that time, they're there, right? They're going through all the same things that everybody else is going through. But there, they get more excited about the coming Christ. They get more excited about the things that's happening because nothing could touch them. Because they put all their value in a place that Satan can't get to it. So I encourage you, experience truth because it will set you free. God uses controls to bring awareness with teaching on how to change. God wants to give back to you control of your life to become the best version of yourself. God bless you, and be with us next week at 11 a.m.